Hey there, believers. Let's get through this commercial break first so we can enjoy a full show.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Want to be prepared for anything that 2024 throws at you, from day-to-day life to a national emergency. From the office to the outdoors, then check out SquatchSurvivalGear.com. All packs are made in America, and all components of all packs are made in America, from the fabric to the frame, so you're supporting multiple small businesses when you shop with Squatch Survival Gear. Chris, the owner, is a military vet, so all packs are made beyond mil-spec. These things are bomb-proof, and I use my gear daily. I use the Mothman pack going back and forth to work, and my Rock Ape pack stays loaded out in the Jeep. Go to SquatchSurvivalGear.com and get the piece of gear for the peace of mind today. Use promo code BUMP24 to save 15% site-wide. That's BUMP24 to save 15% site-wide.
Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. So now that we have this knowledge, we have to remember to walk in 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
When he turned his back from shoulder to shoulder, it looked like as wide as the tailgate of a truck.
This thing let out the most blood-curdling, mind-blowing, spine-tingling scream that you've ever heard in your life, and it cut through me like a knife.
And I knew that they were going to take me. I just knew it. And then the next thing I can remember is being levitated.
Well, when I look in there, I see two big eyes staring back at me.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Bump Podcast, a place for the believers of the unexplained, monsters, and paranormal. Join us, and we'll go face to face with what goes bump in the night. Hey there, believers. I got a great episode for you this week. Today, I'm bringing on Ashley, and she is going to discuss some of the experiences that she's had, you know, as a nurse over the years. I actually ran across a comment she had made on TikTok, just at random, you know, some random spooky TikTok video, and they were all from like a hospital. And I looked in the comment section, as one does, you know, and there was this comment that said, I've been a nurse for X amount of years, and
I've seen some paranormal stuff. One being a Hat Man experience, and I thought, "Oh, really?" That got my interest, you know. So I just replied in the comment, you know, "I would love to hear all about it. I would love for you to come on the show and talk about this." And she messaged me right back, "I'm down for it." So we lined it up, and within a week, just as it as it worked out, I had an opening pop up. So here we are. We're gonna record a show together, and I don't know much else about this. We haven't exchanged a whole lot of emails or anything, or text messages, or you know what I mean, like TikTok messages. So we're just gonna play it by ear today, which is what I'll do best anyway. Right? I like to be surprised along with everybody else. So we'll bring Ashley on here in just a second. I want to thank everybody real quick for all the 5-star ratings and reviews that have been coming in lately. It's been wonderful. I love all the feedback. I love it also on Spotify where there's a Q&A thing, you know, tell me what you think about this episode. There is a bunch of responses to the shows. Only problem is, and it's something that Spotify needs to work out, I can't reply. You know, when you guys say something or whatever or ask a question, it won't let me reply. So I appreciate that. I can try to start hopping on and replying to it, you know, as it happens, maybe with a live or do it on here on some of the intro stuff. But I just want to thank you guys for the feedback. Thank you guys for the ratings and reviews. If you have an experience you'd like to share, you can holler at me at thebumppodcast@gmail.com. You can get a hold of me on Instagram, TikTok, whatever. I'm on pretty much everything. If you want to shoot a text or leave a voicemail on the Bump phone, some of you guys know I'm not very good at checking it, but you can do that anyway. I will get to it. It's 304-812-0553. So yeah, if you want to support the show, it's just buymeacoffee.com/thebumppodcast. You can put in whatever number of coffees you want to donate, you know, in whatever dollar increment, however that works. Okay. That's pretty much the only way to support the show now, unless you just send like a direct donation through the website or Spotify or memberships or whatever that is. I've kind of just left it open to however, the spirit moves you to do it. So, all right, let's bring Ashley on and get into this Hat Man experience because it's been a while.
Okay.
All right. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Everybody knows that we talk before it starts recording. But we've already done the introduction. So if you want to get straight into your experience with the Hat Man, I'm all ears.
Okay. With the Hat Man, I was working, day shift. I'm a nurse. I've worked in long-term care for a very long time. I was always, a day shift nurse though. So I never really expected that, you know, you would see or experience things on day shift in broad daylight because you always hear about everything happening on, you know, night shift and everything. And I was walking down the hall at work one day towards like our dining room, and right in front of the dining room, we had a lobby. And then right across the hall from it was a bathroom. And I'm just walking down the hall, kind of, you know, just looking straight ahead. And I saw a black figure. I mean, it's been so long. I can't remember if he was slightly see-through or not. I mean, this was probably 15 years ago. But it was a tall black figure, wearing a hat. And I saw it clear as day. It wasn't out of the corner of my eye. It was right in front of me. Like I said, about 20 feet away, just walking right across the hallway and just disappeared into the wall. And I mean, I looked around, nobody else seemed to notice it. So I wasn't going to say anything, you know, at the risk of sounding crazy. But, you know, back then we didn't all have smartphones in our pockets. So I wasn't able, you know, to whip out my iPhone and Google, like, what the heck is this that I just saw? So I think at some point after my shift, I'd gone home and I'd Googled, like, you know, a tall black figure with a hat. And I'd never heard of the Hat Man before. But I found all sorts of things all over the internet, you know, that made me feel like I wasn't actually crazy. And what I saw is what I saw. It's kind of funny. He almost looked, as I remember, he almost kind of looked like Zorro. Do you remember Zorro?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he kind of looked like Zorro from what I recall. And I was just like, what the heck was that? The thing was, the building that this was at my old job, I don't work there anymore, but that building was really, it wasn't even that old. I think it was made in like 1962, 1964,
right.
You know, and like I said, this was probably 15 years ago. So it wasn't even a really old building or anything that you would typically expect to be haunted. Yeah, so that had happened. And, you know, I think when I'd Googled about this figure, I'd seen a lot of things like that some people see that right before they die or right before someone they love dies. So needless to say, I mean, I was terrified for a while that my time was coming, but I'm still here. And I don't recall anything bad happening to anybody at the nursing home in that period. It wasn't like I saw him and the next day somebody passed away or a week later or anything. So there didn't seem to be anything negative that was attached to it. I didn't even have a bad feeling seeing him. It was more just like, holy crap, like, this is a ghost and I see it, like, you know, with my own eyes. I'm really crazy.
Yeah, that would be crazy, especially like you said, daytime sighting.
Yeah.
You're not out there looking for it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I live in an older house and, you know, I always see things at nighttime out of the corner of my eye, you know, out of your peripheral. And that's kind of how growing up I always was too. You know, you always see shadows and maybe your imagination plays tricks on you. And, you know, you think, oh, that could be a ghost. Oh, that could just be my imagination. And I always figured if they were ghosts, then that's just how we see them. We just maybe see little things out of our peripheral.
Right.
So I certainly never expected to see something, you know, right in front of my eyes. And honestly, I mean, for the handful of experiences that I've had, that is the only time that I've seen something just directly in front of me, clear as day.
Yeah.
So that was a very memorable experience for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. That would be pretty freaky.
Yeah.
I think that one of the things that caught my attention is, you know, I saw your comment on TikTok about the Hat Man, but you said that you were a nurse and you said how many years you had been a nurse. And mm-hmm. My wife is a nurse for the exact same amount of years.
Oh, and that's crazy.
Yeah. And so it kind of just stood out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's had several experiences. She's come on my show and talked a couple of times a few years ago. But one of her experiences was when she first started nursing. She had been doing it for a couple of years. And she was working at a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get too much more specific than that because I live in a very small area. But she saw what she believes was the angel of death. Like this black shadowy figure. Basically, like you said, kind of went into mm-hmm. a room. A couple minutes later, whatever the alerts are that go off when somebody is no longer with you. But she went in there and it was a very graphic way to go for this person.
Wow.
It wasn't a pretty scene, but it was very interesting. She talked about it. I would butcher it if I tried to explain the story, but yeah, I know being in healthcare field, especially around death,
mm-hmm.
you have to have several experiences.
Yeah, definitely. I know one of the things that we still talk about at my work all the time, we had a resident I don't know what you guys call them down there. We call them residents when they're in long-term care, not patients. So just, you know, for anybody listening who doesn't know why I'm calling them residents, that's why. But we had a resident that had passed away, and this was probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, somewhere in there. But after he passed away, his room was empty for a while. We didn't have anybody coming in from the hospital that needed a bed. And within a couple hours after he passed away, and then this continued for 2 or 3 weeks until somebody else moved into his room, his call light would go off all the time. And so, you know, a call light is what you press if you're in a hospital or nursing home and you need the nurse for something. And I mean, you know, I'm sure that, you know, people who are more skeptical could come up with a million reasons of how they think that that could be debunked. And, you know, I would kind of agree with you, except for the fact that it never happened until he died, and it stopped happening after somebody new moved into his room. So, you know, it would happen periodically throughout the day. It was a semi-private room. So there was one bed on one side, one bed on the other. But you can see when you go to shut the call light off, which side of the room it's coming from. And it was always his bed. So, oh, and the bathroom light too. He had a bathroom. In the bathroom light, there was a call light in there too that you could pull if you were on the toilet and needed assistance. And that would go off a lot as well. So we, after this happened for the first couple of days, we would just say to him, hey, you know, whatever your name is, knock it off. Like, you're scaring everybody. Right. And then it would stop for a few hours, and then it would start again. And it was happening probably once every hour or two. The call light would just go off, and we would go down there thinking that it might be the person in the other room. And it wasn't. It was his bed.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty freaky. We've had some residents, too. They don't all have dementia. Most of the guys that live on the unit that I work on are mostly alert and oriented patients that just have like disabilities that they've, you know, had from like the war or whatever. Excuse me. Most of them are with it. And I've heard tons of stories from them too. One person in particular told me that every single night at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, his toilet and his bathroom would flush. It wasn't an automatic flusher. It was, you know, a manual one that you had to push the lever down on, but that it would happen every single night. And I don't usually work night shift. I only work nights if they really need somebody to cover. So I haven't experienced that, but that always freaked me out. And it is an older building. That building is the one that I work in now, I think was built in the 1930s. Oh, yeah. And it's a veterans hospital. It's always been a veterans hospital. But I think the unit that I work on now used to be a tuberculosis ward back in the 1930s. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of just sadness and, you know, suffering and everything that's happened in that building. But surprisingly, I have not had as many paranormal experiences as I did at the place that I used to work where I saw the Hat Man.
Wow. So, veterans are ready to leave.
Experience a lot more there. Yeah, I think so.
Definitely. Now, I'm an Air Force vet too. My wife works now. She works at the VA.
Your service. Okay. Awesome.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, so that's just another coincidence, I guess, if that exists.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, actually.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Wow. So, man, I'm drawing a blank here. I'm sitting here looking at my notes with this Hat Man walk through the wall, and with that guy with the call light, and it's happening constantly. You know, like once an hour, every 2 hours. Did you not feel like every time we went down there, like this is the time I'm going to see him standing in the bathroom?
Like, no, I don't know that I ever thought that I would, you know, possibly stumble across him. You know, I've always been more of like I'm probably gonna feel something, you know, if I walk into that room. But I didn't, you know. We would go down there, we would shut the call light off, and you know, I'm sure, you know, with your wife being a nurse, you know, we tend to use like a lot of joking and kind of dark humor to cope with things. So there's not really a lot of an element of like fear. It's more like, all right, dude, like, what the heck? Why do you keep messing with us? You know, we're busy. We got a million things going on. Knock it off, you know? So, yeah, I never really felt anything negative with that. It was more just, you know, anticipating that there's going to be maybe an eerie feeling in the room, and there just never was.
Right.
So I think he pressed his call light a lot when he was alive. So, you know, it really wasn't any different once he was gone. I think, you know, he was just going to continue doing that until he realized that he wasn't with us anymore.
Right.
So
just keep bugging you guys for a little while.
Yep.
Speaking of feelings, you know, you mentioned before we started recording that, you had a feeling, it may have went beyond that. We didn't go into detail of being followed, like something attaching itself to you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about that yet? Or do you want to talk about, something else?
Yeah, no, we can, we can definitely talk about that. This was, I want to say back in, I think, 2017, I had been visiting a cemetery where my grandparents were buried around Halloween time. And they both passed away when I was really young. So I really don't remember them. And, you know, I usually go around every year in the Halloween time because their graves happen to just be across the street from the most awesome farmer's market during the fall time that has pumpkins and hay rides and like haunted teepees and all this stuff. So it's like the perfect opportunity. I go there with the kids, you know, and then I stop over and I bring little pumpkins to my grandparents' graves afterwards. And sometimes, you know, I get a little emotional while I'm there, you know, with not remembering them and whatever. And I do remember that time in particular that I went to visit, I stopped and I put little pumpkins on their gravestones. And I remember feeling like a little emotional, a little more so than, you know, maybe I usually would when I go and visit. But I didn't really think anything of it because I'm a woman and I get emotional sometimes. But when I got home that evening, weird things started to happen. Like things that I would put on the counter, I'd be in the next room next to the kitchen, and all of a sudden I would hear like something slide across the counter and drop on the floor. So it happened that day either with my coffee cup or my purse. And there wasn't anybody in there. There wasn't an animal. How the heck does your coffee cup slide across the counter and land on the floor? And it was happening in the kitchen in particular, maybe like once a week or so. And, you know, I tried not to think anything of it. I'd only bought my house maybe less than a year before that. And like I'd said before, you know, my house is a little older. So it's like, well, I mean, is my house haunted? I haven't really lived here long enough. It's Halloween time. I have no idea what's going on. Maybe this is just my imagination. But things like that kept happening. I would go into the bathroom and I'd walk by my bathroom and something would slide off the counter and land on the floor. And it really was, I mean, it was kind of spooky. It was like, God, you know, can I sell my house? Like already I just bought it, you know, what do I do? I'm not sure I'm prepared to live in a haunted house. But then I noticed, that when I was going to work, that if I was sitting at my desk at the computer charting, that if I used to take my name badge off because, you know, the lanyard around my neck would itch a lot. So if I had the opportunity to sit down, I'd always take my lanyard off, put it next to me. And one time I was typing something on the computer and I kind of zoned out deep in thought. And I was like staring at my lanyard and it moved like not just a little bit. It slid like an inch or two over to the side. And I was like, hey, what the heck is going on? Okay. Well, we've had experiences here at work before. Maybe this is just somebody at work trying to get my attention. But I ended up leaving work at the end of my shift and I had to go drive and run some errands afterwards. And all of a sudden my radio started like glitching in and out. And I never had that happen before. It wasn't a satellite radio. It was just your basic like AM, FM radio. And none of the stations would work. It was making funny noises, almost like you could kind of maybe hear voices distantly. That freaked me the hell out. So I shut my radio off. And I was like, all right, I have no idea what's going on, but this is really starting to freak me out. So I actually went over to a friend of mine's house at some point within that time after those experiences started to happen. And I didn't realize, this was a friend that I've had for probably 20, 25 years. I didn't realize that she apparently can see things that I guess the rest of us can't. She didn't tell me at the time when I was over there, but we were hanging out on her front porch, I think just drinking coffee and chatting about things. And I kind of told her, you know, what was going on. And she went into her house and she pulled out a bundle of white sage and was like, take this home with you. Do you know how to smudge? And I'm like, no, I have no idea. You know, and she was like, Google it. Just trust me, you need this. So I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. You know, so I was Googling, what is this? How do I do this? I have no idea. I'm not even sure that, you know, as a white person with European descent, am I supposed to even be doing something like this? Like, I think this is a Native American practice that I should not even be getting involved in. Like, you know, what the heck am I doing? But I was so terrified that I'm like, at this point, you know, I'll pretty much try anything, you know, yeah, to get whatever the heck is attached to me to leave me the heck alone. So it's really starting to freak me out. That didn't work probably because, you know, I did it wrong. So I was on the internet just like Googling, you know, I've never been somebody who's been into like crystals or herbs or anything like that. You know, as a nurse, I've always been very like science, science, science. But, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And I ended up Googling like crystals that can be protection stones. You know, so at this point, we're probably a couple months into these weird experiences happening. And I found this little hippie store in a college town nearby, went in, bought like every protection stone that they had, placed them around my house, put them in my car, kept them with me at work, kept them in my pockets. And everything subsided for a while. So I was like, okay, you know, this is cool. But then I was home one night and nothing had happened in my house for probably a month. So I was like, okay, you know, these protection stones are working.
Right.
And I'm sitting on the couch with my now fiance, at the time, and we were watching, I think, a movie. And it was late at night, like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And okay, this is where things really freaked me out. Let me describe the way my house is set up. So I have a front door, and my front door leads to an enclosed porch. And the enclosed porch then leads into my living room, which was where we were sitting. The front door that leads to the enclosed porch from the outside, it has a deadbolt, double lock, everything. And I've always deadbolted that at night. I live in a pretty safe town, but, you know, I always do that just to be sure. And there was a doorbell on the front door, and then there was a separate doorbell that made a different noise on the door from the front, from the enclosed porch into my living room. And they have two very different sounds. We were sitting there watching a movie, and all of a sudden the inside doorbell went off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit, what was that? Right. And then I'm like, I don't ever hear that doorbell go off. So we got up and I went and I looked on my front porch. Thank God there was nobody there, because I probably, you know, would have shit myself if there was. But then I'm like, well, you know, maybe somebody's messing with us, you know, neighborhood kid. But we go to check the front door, it's still deadbolted. So was that something? You know, I think it was. But that was the last experience we had at my house. It was, I kind of thought of it afterwards as like, oh, hey, I've been bothering you for the last couple of months. This is just like my last hurrah.
Yeah.
And they rang the doorbell. and I never had anything happen, thank God, since then.
Yeah, really. So,
I really thought I was going crazy. But I went back to talk to my friend after all of this had stopped. And I didn't tell her that everything had stopped. I never told her the extent of everything that was going on. And, you know, of course, she could have been pulling my leg a little bit, but she did tell me that when I came to her house that time that she gave me the white sage, she told me that she saw a black figure that was with me. And she was like, I don't know if it was good. I don't know if it was bad, but I don't think it was supposed to be there. She was like, so I knew that I needed to give you a bundle of sage. And she was like, now that you're telling me all these stories of everything that's going on, she was like, I'm really glad I gave it to you because it sounds like you needed it. So, Wow. Yeah.
It not working.
Yeah. Well, and I used to go amateur ghost hunting.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
You know, semi-often before. And there's a local place that's like notorious. It's on a whole bunch of TV shows and everything. You can pay actually a pretty small amount of money and stay there, you know, overnight and bring in whatever equipment you want. And I had been there before, had a really interesting experience, wanted to go back again. But after that, I have sworn off of doing any amateur ghost hunting anymore. I went to go to this place. I was all excited and I found myself just completely terrified that I would end up attracting something and bringing something home with me again.
Yeah.
So I have stayed away from doing any sorts of exploring, anything like that since then.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't blame you. I would kind of steer clear of it too.
Yeah.
Like I said, I know we haven't even had time for you to listen to old episodes and stuff that I've done, but I had an experience where I also got into a little bit of amateur ghost hunting and stuff when I was still in the Air Force. I was stationed at Barksdale in Louisiana. And of all places, I mean, that's a really good spot to do some ghost hunting, you know. Louisiana is pretty full of it. But I did that for a couple of years, came home. I had a friend that lived in Michigan, and he invited me to come up to his house for New Year's. I had just got out, so it was New Year's 2010. I go up there, and he lured me up there, but I think my basement's haunted, you know, and I was like, okay. So I go up there, and sure enough, I had all the little equipment, you know, like the EMP recorders.
Mm-hmm.
I had the little thermometers that would read air temperature, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I went up there like an idiot. I was an idiot. I went up there and made the rookie mistake of telling whatever it was in his basement. Because we did the air readings, you know, and it would be colder around me than the rest of the house, which was weird. Like, no matter where we went, if I was standing there, it would be like 5 degrees colder against my body than it was anywhere else. So I thought I was big and bad, and I said that it could use my energy if it needed to manifest or whatever.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, cut to me going to the clinic the next morning with my blood pressure out of control and wasn't right for about 5 years. Like, it felt like I had a for real curse. Like, I felt cursed. Like, if anything could go wrong, anxiety attacks, panic attacks. It went on for a long time.
Wow.
A very long time. That, and no amount of sage fixed it. You know, I tried that. You know, I bought the crystals, the white sage. I tried to get into that stuff. It didn't work. What did work was Jesus. I'm telling you, if you call on his name, it has to flee. That's been my experience. And it's a scary thing when you're actually in that, like when that stuff's actually happening to you.
It really is. You know, you find yourself, you know, prior to these things happening, your normal day-to-day level of stress is pretty low. And it might take a lot for you to get going, but when you're dealing with something all the time, your natural level of stress is so high that you just end up finding yourself in a constant state of panic or anxiety with any little thing that happens. Yeah. And it's terrible. It's really terrible to have to experience that all the time.
It really is. And I think that things attach to us when we're in our lower states, you know, like I had come home. I'm not going to get into it here, but a whole world of bad was going on. You know, so I was pretty susceptible. And I believe, you know, you went there and your mood was a little low. You know, you're there with your grandparents and all that.
Yeah, well, and I actually did have some stuff going on in my life at that time, too, that wasn't so great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can definitely see where I might have been more vulnerable.
Yeah.
So sure. I don't know if I necessarily picked it up at the cemetery or if that was just a coincidence. I think I've kind of always heard that cemeteries are usually more peaceful and there's usually not a lot of spirits roaming in them. I don't know if that's true or not. That's kind of just what I've always heard. So part of me was thinking, no, I couldn't have picked it up from there. It could have simply just been at work. You know, I work in a really old building where there's been a lot of death, a lot of suffering, you know, people with horrible injuries, you know, that have come home and, you know, had to live out their life in a hospital, you know, and that's sad. And maybe something attached to me there. I don't know. But yeah, I'm glad it's done with and I hope it stays that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You had mentioned a very popular place that you had been to. You said you went there twice.
Yep.
You picked up an EVP there.
I did. Can I talk about the place?
Absolutely. Like, if you're comfortable saying name, it. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. So I live probably about 15 or 20 minutes away from the Rolling Hills Asylum in East Bethany, New York. It's been on, oh my gosh, all the shows. The one with Taps with Jason and the one with Zach Bagans, Ghost Hunters, I think. It's been on a few different shows. I've seen tons of YouTube videos of people ghost hunting there. So it's pretty well known for being haunted. And the whole story of the place is really sad. It was like a poor house. I think it opened maybe in like the late 1700s, early 1800s.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, you walk in that place and I mean, the feeling in the air is just, it is heavy and it is really intense. And it's definitely a very sad place. I think they lost count of how many people died there, but it was in the thousands upon thousands. And it stayed open as a nursing home, I think, until the 1970s. And then it was actually like a craft mall of sorts, I think, through like the 90s. Really spooky building to be doing like Christmas and Santa and stuff in. But
yeah,
that's Western New York for you. But then at some point, I think in like maybe the early 2000s, new ownership came through and they kind of opened it up as a place where you could go ghost hunting. And it's always, you know, been a spooky looking building. You know, I'd driven past it tons of times when I was a kid and was always very intrigued by this really spooky looking building that's just literally out in the middle of nowhere that looks like something out of a horror movie. So when they opened up and I was old enough to stay the night there and go ghost hunting, I definitely jumped on that opportunity. And I went with a group of friends. Two out of the four of us ended up leaving at like 1 a.m. because they were freaked out. But myself and another friend of mine ended up staying. We actually ended up being the last people to leave. So that was kind of neat. We didn't know that. I mean, the building is huge. It's absolutely huge. So you wouldn't really necessarily know if there's other people that are still in there or not. But if you left, you had to sign out at the desk downstairs. And when we ended up signing out, we found out that we'd been the last people in the building other than the workers for like the last 2 hours that we were there. And it was right around the time that the sun was about to come up where we accidentally caught an EVP. And we actually didn't realize it at the time. So we had brought one of those old, like, digital, I don't even know if it's a digital tape recorder, but it's an old tape recorder with the little cassettes in it.
Yeah.
And we were exploring the building, you know, asking all sorts of questions, you know, is there anybody here? You know, can you tell me your name? And then they had kind of like a break room where you could sit and relax. And we would go back to like this break room that was well lit every hour or so and just kind of rewind through our recordings and see if we caught anything. All night we caught nothing. And this is the only equipment we came with, was just this tape recorder. Right. You know, I think I was like 20, 21 years old, so I didn't have anything fancy, you know. But we had gone to the very upstairs floor there, the very top floor, which apparently was like the nurse's quarters. And it was really small. There were only a few rooms up there. And it was right around the time that the sun was starting to come up. So maybe like 5:30 in the morning, I think, 6 o'clock. And we walked into a room, asked whose room this was, you know, walked around, explored a little bit, didn't hear anything. And we figured, all right, well, you know, we're getting tired. The sun's almost up. Let's go listen to these recordings real quick in the break room. And then we'll just head home. So we went to the break room and we went to replay our recordings. And when my friend said, whose room is this? We heard a very, very deep voice. It was so deep, it kind of reminded me of like Johnny Cash, like that really, you know, super deep voice. And it said Faulkner. And you could hear it, you know, clear as day. I mean, we replayed it like a million times. Like, you know, I was like, did you hear that? And he was like, yeah, you know, I heard that. What, like, what is this? So we went downstairs to the office, you know, to check out. And they had asked us if we'd had any experiences. And we played the recording for them. And, you know, they told us that, yeah, they get lots of EVPs upstairs. So they weren't even shocked to hear it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was really cool. I wish I still had the video. My friend, I believe, still has it. But I kind of lost touch with him probably 10 plus years ago. So,
man, well, what an experience, though. Yeah,
definitely.
So,
yeah.
Let me ask you, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot. If you don't know, you don't know, and I don't know if anybody does. What do you think all of this is? What are these entities? Are these the disembodied spirits of these people? Is it some kind of poltergeist? Is it a demon pretending? Like, what I've heard a million things. What do you think?
You know, personally, I think it's spirits that haven't crossed over yet. I think that's kind of just what I've always figured ghosts that are lurking around are. I don't think that there are spirits that have crossed over and decide to come back and visit.
Right.
I feel like the spirits that do that are, you know, doing it in good nature, and they're not trying to scare people. They're not trying to spook anybody. It's tough because personally, I don't know that I necessarily believe in hell. I believe in an afterlife. I believe in a heaven. I believe in God, but I'm not sure that I necessarily believe in the idea of hell as much as I believe that it's just a means to keep us to be law-abiding citizens that aren't just like murdering everybody all the time, you know? So the idea of demons, you know, I don't ever want to be proven wrong,
right.
But I'm not sure that I necessarily maybe believe in that. I'm not sure. But I do think that, you know, at work, it's spirits that haven't crossed over yet, either because maybe they don't realize that they're dead, or maybe they just don't want to, you know. You hear about unfinished business, maybe it's that, or maybe they just don't want to leave this earth yet, maybe because they're afraid of what's to come on the other side.
Right.
Judgment Day, you know, if they believe in that or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's a good enough answer for me. You know, like I said, I don't know unless the answer is revealed to us somehow. I don't know how we would know, right, until we get there. And, if you get the option to stay or leave, I probably wouldn't come back here. I don't know. I think that this world's I got a pretty good life, but There's yeah. not a whole lot left.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, is there anything else you wanted to dig into? Or? I want to leave the door open. I don't want to hop off here and there be like, oh, wait a minute. I forgot when I was a kid, I had this near-death experience. Or
no, you know, I don't think that there's anything, you know, as a kid that I ever experienced. I'm like 99% sure that my first experience was seeing the Hat Man.
That's first.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hell of a first experience too. Like, holy shit. What is that?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I can't think of anything that really ever happened before that. And I don't think that I'm particularly sensitive to anything either. You know, I don't think that's why I've had the experiences that I've had. I think it's just the field that I work in, you know, kind of just opportunity. Oh, okay. I went ghost hunting at a building that's like 200 years old that had thousands of people die there. You know, of course there's going to be something there. You know, so I don't think it's like me being, you know, sensitive. So I don't think I have any experiences from when I was a kid at all. You know, one thing does come to mind though, the same building that I worked at where I saw the Hat Man, I did work a night shift, here and there. And I did have an experience that actually really freaked me out. So I guess we could talk about that real quick.
Sure.
I was in a patient's room, taking their blood pressure at some point in the middle of the night. It was pitch black out. And the way staffing is in nursing homes at night is deplorable. We had 60 something patients, two nurses and two CNAs. So I had one unit of 30 people along with just one CNA, and it was me and her, you know, doing it all in the overnight shift. And, you know, we didn't have maintenance or doctors or housekeeping or anything like that on night shift. It was just two nurses, two aides for the entire building. And the people that worked one unit never came down to our side unless there was an absolute emergency. So we were very isolated the entire time that we would work. And I was in a patient's room in the middle of the night taking a blood pressure. And I remember kind of just like looking up at the doorway, you know, just kind of trying to hear the beats in my ear rather than staring at the dial. And I saw somebody in white that walked by the room. And I actually thought it was my aide that was on the floor at first. So I really didn't think anything of it at the time. But when I left this patient's room, and I went back to the nurse's station, my CNA was sitting at the desk and she was wearing light blue scrubs.
Mm.
And I was like, did you just walk by? Did you just walk down the hall? And she goes, no, I've been sitting here the entire time. And I was like, did somebody come down this hall? And she goes, nope, just me and you. And I'm like, nobody's out of their room walking around. And she goes, nope, they're all sleeping. And I'm like, are you sure? And she said, well, did you see something? And I'm like, yeah, I did. I thought you walked by, but you were wearing white. And she goes, nope, I'm in light blue tonight. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay. Cause I definitely saw a woman walk by wearing all white.
A woman in white.
And I really assumed it was her, you know. I didn't get a good look at it, but I saw a figure, you know, kind of right in front of me. Just, I wasn't really paying full attention. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that sort of stuff happens in those facilities,
yeah.
You know, a lot. I'm sure if I really sat and thought about it, I could probably remember some other stories that I've kind of just since forgotten about. But
yeah,
I think if you work in healthcare long enough, you're definitely going to see some things wherever you go.
Yeah, no doubt. No yeah. doubt.
Wow. I don't think I know a single person, a single aide or a single nurse that's been doing it for any real length of time that doesn't have paranormal experiences. And I mean, there's no way we're all crazy.
No. And I'll never get tired of hearing them. You know, it spooks me out every time. Like, it never fails. But, I want to tell you, nurses are my heroes. 100%. Hats off to you guys.
Thank you.
You have my admiration for sure. I call my wife Wonder Woman all the time. You know, I don't get how you could do it That's something I could never do. That's not my field for sure. I'll stick with teaching 90s screaming teenagers.
I could never. I could never do that. Could not do that. Nope.
It took me a couple of years to adjust, but
yeah.
But Ashley, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your experiences. You started with Hat Man and you ended with A Woman in White. That's about as good as it gets, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, absolutely. This was fun.
Absolutely. If anything comes up, if you want to, you know, talk about whatever, just holler at me and we'll do it again.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. Well, have a good night and God bless.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you have an experience or an encounter that you'd like to share, holler at me. You can reach me at thebumppodcast@gmail.com or by the Bump phone at 304-812-0553. Leave a text or a voicemail either way and I'll get back to you. Also, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to. Stick around after this for a special invitation.
Is that yonder in the distance? With his garment white and snow, with a voice that sounds like thunder, won't he draw the string of gold? His appearance is like lightning.
Bless you, Dan.
Sitting high upon his throne. Has 10,000 times 10,000 saved me. Thank you, Lord. Made it home. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb forevermore, praise the holy name of Jesus, bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
In that sea, there's a river.
Bless you, sir.
Flowing from God's holy throne, where the tree of life is blooming, where the hand has not been told.
I like this.
No more tears. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Death will have to flee away. No more sickness, no more heartaches in that land. A perfect day. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Treated with the saints of old, with their troubles far behind them, to never suffer anymore. I'm going home in the morning to that land. Glory, glory.
Jesus, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, yes, bless the Lord.
Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Mike.
If you're personally ready to submit your life to God and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9, says it really simply, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. To be born again, to start a new life as a child of God, to join God's army, to rise up against the evil forces that you know are all around you. You don't have to do it alone. I love you. Jesus loves you. And may God bless you.
When I was young, all the wicked things that I'd done. And then one night, on my knees I prayed. I asked the Lord for some better days. Yes, I went to the altar. I fell down on my knees and I prayed. I asked the Lord
be living better days. come on up to this altar and fall down on your knees and pray and ask the Lord days, better